Hello.
Hello, I'm Alyssa.
I'm May.
And we have a podcast called Crazy in Bed.
Crazy semicolon in bed.
Yeah, this isn't a sex podcast. We mean like we're crazy and we spend a lot of time in bed.
A lot.
Yes, we have new episodes coming out every Monday on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.
Please subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Please.
Please listen.
We need this. This is all we have. We are fragile.
We're fragile and we could relapse.
Hanging by a thread, I'd say, but there's no thread, really.
No,
threads are too strong.
Hello, I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad, and we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
Anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair, and
my knee hurts.
My armpit kind of hurts. Is that a rash? And I had Asian food, and that makes me feel kind of sick. I might be lactose intolerant.
Hey guys, welcome to another Definitely Dying. We've got a little hiatus mini-sode for you because after 86 episodes, after recording this podcast every week for the past year and a half, we are finally taking our first hiatus. Because you know what? We deserve a vacation.
Yeah, sure do.
We've got a really fun show. We have a Ben Green in the house. We're gonna type a lot of loose ends. He's gonna tell you how his tonsillectomy surgery went, if you were wondering. We're also gonna talk about some other sort of long running, definitely dying stories that have kind of concluded this year, and we're gonna talk about resolutions.
Sure. Kick off this year in style.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about how to eat, the right swimsuits to wear.
Oh yeah. I got a push up challenge that I learned from Candace Cameron Bure.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
What is it?
It's called, just 18,000 push ups for 2018.
If you do my goodness.
50 push ups a day, you get 5 days off a year. You have to do 50 straight. That's hard.
Are they all the same kinds of all normal push ups?
You can do, I guess there's a variety of different kinds of push ups, and they show you, like on the initial video, they show you like three different types that I didn't know that I didn't know that different types of push-ups existed. I guess there's chest push-ups, forearm push-ups, all these.
Madeline push-ups, which are one way and fake and just trying to look not stupid at the gym.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I've discovered is that almost everyone thinks they're a push-up fraud. And if you can just push yourself up, then you're kind of doing a push-up. It's like, that's the beauty of, there's a variety of different kinds of push-ups, you know? Yes. But yeah, I was always like, if I can do push-ups, it must be because I'm doing them wrong, because like I'm a fat jerk. And then I was like, no, I'm getting my weight in the air. Like, be proud of yourself. And then I found other reasons to stop being proud of myself. But but push-ups in 2018, push-ups can't be it any longer. Me and Candace Cameron Bure just learned how to pronounce her.
It's crazy that
name.
She hyphenates her name.
I know. She's crazy.
You know, I when I was home for the holidays, my dad was like really he was really fixated on getting me to do this it's called like an ab challenge for old men. Because he's like, my dad's gotten heavy into fitness over the past year and is in excellent shape. He like is in like objectively much better shape than I am. And he was like, do this ab workout. I want to see if it makes you sore. Cause like when I first did it, I was like just so sore. And I was like, fine. Like it won't make me sore. Like dad, I do like yoga, which is all about core strength. And it was so hard and I couldn't do it. Yeah. And then I kind of just evaded him on the point for the rest of the whole trip because I didn't want to be embarrassed by not being able to do his whole official old man push-up routine. And then my mom got in the mix and was like telling me like the right way. Like she was like, say, like she was watching and she was like, you're not like, you're like lifting with like your neck. It's like, you're supposed to like lift your whole chest. And I like the worst part of it, she was like 100% fully right. It was like the nightmare version of like everybody's relationship with their parents, which is like stop telling me I'm not doing it right.
Oh, I'm not doing it right.
I was like the carpet in my family room while you know, like some Netflix show is playing in the background.
I think it makes sense though. I mean that like one of the things I always say at the beginning of my class is that like, you know, I try to reassure people by telling them like this isn't rocket science. But at the same time, like rocket scientists wouldn't be good at pilot writing.
Yeah.
Like maybe you're just not built to be good at old man. Like it has nothing to do with your fitness. It's just you found a plank that was not designed for you as literally the opposite of an old man, you know? Like old man workouts are but you know your dad would be crying through young lady workouts. That feels disparaging. I didn't mean to say it that way. No. You're not young lady. That makes it sound like I'm
no
young lady.
Also, this is like a real classic digression, and then we can move on. But I have to say, I got a text message from my dad 2 days ago that made me so proud because I got him like a dry fit shirt for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I knew my dad's very hard to buy gifts for because, you know, like a grown up person, he like purchases what he wants.
Sure.
And so, but you know, I think like a lot of dads, it's like the sort of woe of a family Christmas is like, what do you get dad? And I knew he wouldn't like it when he opened it because it seems like a lame ass gift.
Right.
Like silky shirt, and he because he works out in what my brother calls like a Cold War workout uniform, which is like kind of like cotton shorts and a white t-shirt. And he was visibly not excited, and it looked like a cop out lazy gift.
Yeah.
But I got a text from him that was like, "Can you use my credit card to order me more of those workout shirts?" Like, this is great.
Yeah.
I'm so proud.
It's okay. This makes more sense. Yeah. I kept waiting for this to be a moment where you were like proud of your dad in a way that like no dad ever wants their daughter to be
proud of myself.
Okay. That's good. Yeah.
So smart.
No, that's like, I've had that with like smart wool socks, for instance, like that are just like, these are $25 socks. This is a nice present.
Yes.
These are thicker than any sock that you wear, and yet you won't sweat in them.
They're
like you do.
Wick you,
yeah,
your
exactly.
Foot sweat.
Wick, yes.
A smart wool sock is a beautiful thing.
And I think it takes real confidence to give a gift that is going to be poorly received, but truly appreciated in usage.
Because it is so my friend, I was with some friends over the holidays, and they were like, one of them like has created this like pyramid of gift usefulness, you know, like, and the bottom of it is like something that like is basically like would be like something that you both don't want. It's like you don't want it and it's clearly thoughtless, you know, like it would be like something that was like clearly purchased from like a Walgreens on the way to Christmas. And then the top of that pyramid is like something you did not even know you wanted, and that's a smart wool sock.
Yeah.
I recently was embarrassed because I have these socks that were gifted to me that I love. I think they're called like, I don't know, something like Feet Works or like something. And I finally was like, I'm gonna Google these socks and get myself more because like I could treat myself nice.
And
they are compression socks for bunions.
That's actually the podcast that will be replacing Improv for Humans is Compression Socks for
compression
Bunions.
Yeah.
Starring Matt Besser.
They are all just compression socks, and I couldn't order more. I didn't feel good about it.
No, you need somebody to buy. That's got to be the top gift on yours. Somebody who knows you well enough to know you need these things, and someone needs to purchase them for you.
Like in college, my favorite shirt that fit me the best I discovered was a maternity shirt.
Oh yeah. Me too. Unfortunately,
I was like, ooh, this
I mean, I was pregnant at the time, but. No, I know exactly what you mean. The older I get, the more I realize that like what a person needs more than anything is that thing they won't buy themselves.
Yes,
they don't need the coolest thing that they already want. They need the thing that's I don't want your Christmas to be the best on Christmas Day. I want every other day after that to be the day that you truly appreciate.
Well, I was just talking about this with Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Green.
Where is that guy?
Where is he? Ben?
Ben.
Ben.
You just woke me from a horrible nightmare.
What was it?
I dreamt that I participated in your intro.
Well, you're living your nightmare, baby.
Which one? Just kidding. We only recorded one and it went great.
Just kidding. Our intros are always flawless from the get. We've never had to record an intro twice.
Usually the part that gets cut out of our intros with is the part where we're like, oh, Zig, I didn't even know you were recording. Yes. Let's just start it.
Yeah.
Since
you're here.
Ben. Yeah.
last year we kicked off our year with Ben and a resolution discussion, and this year we're going to chat resolutions a little bit, but also Ben, you have a pretty special
a gift for the audience.
I made a gift for you guys.
A top tier gift, in my opinion.
Top tier.
So in another episode, you heard that I was gonna get my tonsils taken out soon. Mm-hmm. It happened in September. And I got a little radio documentary
nice
to share with you guys whenever you're ready for it.
Yeah. No, we've tried to get this in on several occasions and life has gotten in the way.
Yeah.
But we insisted.
It always turns out my file is just malware.
We've had to start this podcast over due to virus on so many occasions, thanks to Ben. We've gone through so many Dell computers.
I work for Mac.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been really trying to get this in, and we were excited, and there was like we wanted to make sure that we got it in at, you know, by now at least. We didn't want it to turn into like the Tyra angle from season 2 of Friday Night Lights, where we disavow all knowledge of Tyra's R word. We wanted to make sure you guys knew all along Ben went in for this. You knew that we had these. You knew we had these files. Yeah. You knew we were sitting on something big, and we have to get it in. We got to get it in. So why are we waiting?
Let's listen to it.
Stop waiting.
Stop. Your life is now, people. The moment is now.
It's now.
Stop waiting.
Moment is now.
The moment is now. Okay. Now.
Now.
So this is Ben, the night before he gets his tonsils out. We're having one last meal of solid food. Ben, how do you feel?
A little nervous about tomorrow, but also excited to be losing all this weight that I'm going to lose from my tonsils coming out.
What is your last tonsil meal?
Oh, an American cheeseburger from Bob's Big Boy with fries and a salad. I'm very excited about it.
Hey, Ben, we'll be checking back in tomorrow, signing off from Bob's Big Boy.
Ben, we're in the car on the way to getting your tonsils out.
Oh.
How do you feel?
Still nervous. I'm tired. It's too early. It's 5:55 a.m. And
honestly, you seem way more upset about getting up early than you have about getting a surgery.
Well, I haven't been allowed to eat or drink for 6 hours, which is terrible. And they're gonna knock me out. That's scary, and
Hey, so where are we now?
We're in the ICU, I think.
Because
we were in the ICU waiting room, and now we're in a... I'll basically describe it. I don't know what the right word for where we are is, but it's like a hospital looking room with curtains. I'm wearing a not many clothes, but a gown, and I have an IV in me, which kind of hurts.
Someone's in the bathroom.
And oh, it's getting me my breakfast.
Really?
Yeah.
Sure. Something like what? What is it?
They said eggs and coffee, but I think they were joking.
Did they really say that?
Yeah.
That's a good joke.
Yeah, the message has been very funny.
And did it make you think of a career change?
Yeah. I think instead of being the a not very funny comedian, I'm going to be a very funny nurse.
Okay, so Ben, this is our first recording without your tonsils. How do you feel?
I'm a little woozy. I'm in this bed in... What kind of room are we in now?
It's called a...
recovery room.
Recovery room? A short stay. Short stay room.
Yeah, and I think I don't hurt, like, that much in my mouth because I think they get a lot of painkillers on me right now. So I'm pretty happy about that. And I already kind of feel like I can breathe better. So I'm also really excited about that. I think they did a great job.
Do you remember, what's the last thing you remember from before the surgery?
It was like, I don't remember going out. I just like know that they were like, we're putting in medicine now. And then it was like a few seconds later. That's where my memory stops. And then I woke up and I was in, they were like, you're in this new different room. That was kind of surprising. And Melon's been doing very good caretaking. She's, you can really tell that doing 75 episodes of her podcast has made her into an excellent doctor.
Well, we'll check in with you later. Anything else you want to say?
Yeah, I can't remember anything from 1996 to 2006. But I feel like maybe that's just a side effect, and I'm hoping that wears out.
Your voice sounds the same, by the way.
Yeah, well, you know, you win some, you lose some.
It's 7 p.m., almost 12 hours after the actual tonsillectomy. We've been home since 2:30. How you feeling, Ben?
I've been sleeping all day, and my throat hurts. Doesn't hurt as much as I thought it would, because I thought it was going to hurt worse than like a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10. Mm-hmm. And it's really been more like just a very bad sore throat. But probably I'm on heavy painkillers too. It definitely feels funny inside my mouth.
Does it feel swollen?
Yeah. I feel like I've still got stuff in there. But I'm eating applesauce, so everybody's very proud of me for that. Everybody being you and our cat.
Okay, so we're here with Ben. We're back at Bob's Big Boy. A week later, right after your post-op appointment with Dr. Line. Ben, how did it go?
It sounds like I'm doing great. He said that my mouth is healing really well. And the last week, I have felt like a little bit better every day. So I'm feeling very, very optimistic.
What are you going to eat for lunch?
A bunch of things I can eat, which are some fruit, since it's kind of not that hard. A tuna sandwich with no cheese, and French fries, which I'm going to have to chew up very well to be able to swallow them.
What's the past week been like?
Well, you've taken really, really good care of me.
Not really. I poisoned you.
That's true. Madeline got confused between tablespoons and teaspoons.
And so she gave me way too much, both antibiotics and Tylenol with codeine.
Yeah, the codeine was bad.
So I was feeling kind of nauseated. And codeine regularly will do that, but it especially does if you give three times the amount of dosage you're supposed to get.
Yeah, I was giving you three times. Yeah.
But you've been very attentive and sweet. And
maybe too attentive. I feel like almost too attentive, like a little annoying.
Well, so Malin got me a Nintendo Switch. She rented it from this company where you can rent the things, and that has made the time a lot more fun. My mouth still, it still hurts in my throat, but I feel like I've gotten my voice back a bit more every day. I feel like I sound pretty normal right now.
And what are we in for in the next few days, according to the doctor?
My mouth might have blood in it, like, at some point, as, like, scar tissue starts falling off.
Scabs.
And I'm not supposed to go to the gym. I need to keep sort of laying low until about Wednesday of next week. So, like, after, you know, about 14 days after my surgery, and then I can start sort of much more rejoining life as normal.
Any surprises?
I've been able to breathe through my nose a lot more consistently. I wonder if that has to do with having my tonsils out. I think it does, but I just can't figure out why it's, like, how everything is connected in your face that I should be so much more decongested than usual.
Yeah.
I mean, I was doing this for breathing. I expected to get a lot more air through my throat than through my mouth without tonsils blocking the way. I didn't know I was going to be able to breathe easier through my nose.
What did Dr. Lyon again reiterated, I think he said in the appointment today, that you had big ass tonsils. He keeps being more and more amazed at how big your tonsils actually were.
Yeah. It's just, it looks like the fancy, like, Latin term. Thank you. Our food is arriving. Thank you. The fancy term for my condition, like, showed that, like, my tonsils were not infected, but just ginormous. So I'm very proud of my tonsils that I no longer have inside me.
So being here a week after the night before your surgery, like, are you struck by any differences in how you feel?
I mean, it's weird because I'm in pain now, and I wasn't in pain the night that we came before my surgery, but I'm actually way happier right now than I was then. I think that's weirdly, it feels way better to just be in pain than, like, the emotion I was feeling then was dread. It's kind of weird that it's worse to be dreading something than just being in pain.
Let's eat.
I mean, that's very well cut.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I feel like, are there Ira Glass Awards this episode could be nominated for?
Probably.
I hope the three of us get one for
all the work that we did in equal parts together.
To make that. Malin was the one recording it for a lot of the time.
Yeah, but you did all the work. Yeah.
Thank you.
And I removed your tonsils.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we didn't mention. Yeah, Ben. Yeah.
And I've been meaning to ask you about that. Why did you use such big tools?
Because you have big-ass tonsils.
You did a good job.
You weren't even sick. You just have big-ass tonsils. And I was like, I got to see those up close. Pluck, pluck. That's how you do it. Pluck, pluck.
Oh, yeah. It's a big pluck, pluck kind of situation.
Yeah. Use a pluck, pluck. It's a tool known amongst natives.
I know that in my haze, while I was getting my tonsils out, if you had actually somehow came into the room, the doctor would have tried to stop you from taking them out. I know I would have been on your side. No, this guy knows more.
A little known fact about me, no doctor could stop me from doing anything. Now everybody knows it. No, yeah, it would be, you know me. I would never come after your tonsils like that. We're bros. We had lunch at Soup Plantation not long. Where was our lunch? When did I first see you in the timeline of tonsil
you
removal?
Saw me 2 weeks after.
So 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And when the last of the recordings would have been recorded when?
A week before our Soup Plantation.
Okay. So 1 week later. I can tell you, 1 week later, top of his game.
Yeah, how did he
He took down some soup. He took it down.
Soup was still good for me at that point.
Yeah.
We should have gone to Soup Plantation instead of Bob's Big Boy.
you just kept demanding, saying, "I need Bob's Big Boy. I just got to chomp those fries till they're real fine."
I don't know. Before any major event in my life, I like to make eye contact with that Big Bob.
Yeah.
Big Boy.
I do just because it reminds me of Austin Powers.
Yeah. You're a childhood doctor.
Yeah.
But now it's like, let's see, like 5 months after my tonsils were taken out. Mm-hmm. So it was September. Yeah.
Yeah.
4 or 5 months. Yeah. And I've been feeling amazing. I always get sick around this time of year, like going back to the East Coast and being in the cold. I didn't at all.
Mm-mm.
I've been uncongested all the time.
Yeah. Wow.
Madeline and I hiked yesterday.
Yeah.
And I never got winded.
Yeah.
I do feel like way closer to a superhero these days. With tonsilless.
We both got sick over the holidays and you got better before me, which usually doesn't happen. I was like sick. I was so sick. I sneezed in the airport and got so many crumbs in my hair.
Oh, it was very funny.
I was in the airport and I was like trying to eat a sandwich. I was so sick and I sneezed and then I came up from my sneeze and Ben's face just looked so alarmed.
From crumbs in your hair?
Because I had spit my whole sandwich kind of in like my hair and my scarf. And like I just had sandwich flecks just all over my face and hair.
Ben, have you had this in any aspect of your life where like, so for me it was that my immune system like learned how to be like to fight disease with like this huge impediment.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so now that's what I think is making me like so good is like, it was double fighting. Like, have you had anything like that you learned how to be good at it while you were bad and now you're extra good because it's over?
Let's see. Well, during my blind period, I learned to fight crime.
That's sort of what the superhero of you is based on.
Is there any difference, right, like between like smoking and not smoking? Have you like it had that kind of?
I mean, definitely that same sort of like I mean, quitting cigarettes. Quitting cigarettes, I would say, resulted in pretty similar to what you described, like with the hike thing, where you're like, oh wow, like I'm not restricted in the lungs in the same way. But I also noticed, like, also what you were describing about having your tonsils removed sounded like what a lot of people say after they get like the deviated septum corrected or whatever.
Yes.
Just that, like, all of a sudden you're breathing for the first time. Like, I don't know. It makes me, like, really the superhero thing. Like, no, not even joking. But it just makes me think back to that. What was that movie called? Unbreakable? Was that the one, the predecessor to Split, right?
Yeah.
So just at the end of that movie, without, like, well, hopefully it doesn't spoil. If this is going to spoil for you, then this is not the podcast for you. We've been on a trajectory to spoiling the movie Unbreakable. Yeah. M. Night. Anyway, that part at the end where he's like, where he sort of talks about that, like, he feels like himself for the first time, that like all of a sudden you're like this, you realized that you had been restricted from being the 100% you for all these years in ways that seem like, obviously when it's a superpower, it's like, I found my destiny. But when it's just like, I can breathe for the first time, you realize like how many times I was self-conscious running the mile in elementary school because I thought I was going to have an asthma attack. And that it was just like, if you were in a position to be the best version of yourself, just how much more you could accomplish if you weren't afraid of, like, that's what I think of.
I'd be in a whole different position. I'd be, instead of being married to Madeline now, I'd be married to a congresswoman. There are bad things too. I can, you've noticed, Madeline, I smell better now, which means I've been able to smell your your backpack.
Oh, I got the. I accidentally got the stinkiest backpack. I ordered this backpack. I like wanted just like a little backpack to kind of like throw my laptop in, and you know, I just you know what a little backpack is. But I was grumpy about Herschel and like how it's like so marked up for like such a basic backpack. Mm-hmm. And so I went on Amazon and I got like a full Herschel knockoff. Not because I wanted my backpack to look like a Herschel bag, just because it like had all the specs that I wanted. It was like the right size, all black, you know, had like a little laptop sleeve. But it was like, it truly, it's called Vashi, and it's like written in a script that is meant to look like, if you're not up close to it, it just looks like a Herschel bag. But it smells so pungently like burnt tires. And it just, and I thought it would go away, and it so much hasn't, that I now keep this backpack outside. And all of my clothes that I had put in it, oh, like, still smell like that burning smell. And so I've decided I need to get rid of that backpack. But old Ben would have never, would have thought I was crazy for smelling
very
that
much
backpack.
And new Ben is like, why is this backpack anywhere near our house still? Throw it in the trash.
He literally said that from the studio. He says, why is this backpack so close to my olfactory? Ben's using words like olfactory now.
Yeah, he's like, his vocab has really shot through the roof.
It's just changed. Yeah. I liked it better when you were a man of the people.
Sorry. This has been my Flowers for Algernon.
Yeah, you used to be a real plebe. Now, now you're such a Philistine.
And I won't apologize.
That's what I like best about you, though.
Yeah. New Ben will not apologize.
So much to apologize for. Yes. Will not apologize.
Yes. Unapologetic.
Hate that about you. Love that about you. Yeah. That combination.
Thanks, guys.
This is a stupid question that I've always wondered. Can you feel in the absence of tonsils?
I can.
You can.
And I think the biggest thing about it is like my tonsils used to like when I was drinking water, there would be a stop. It's like there was a little fence in my mouth.
Right.
And so I would have to like be like, okay, now you're at the fence. Unlock the fence. Like there's a double process to swallowing anything.
Yeah.
And now I can just go like swallow, 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 swallow. It's so different and it feels, And I can just feel it's just emptier back there.
In a good way.
Yeah.
Like it feels like there was some clutter back there in retrospect.
It
your
feels
whole
like
life.
The back of my mouth got cleaned up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you Marie Kondo'd your mouth.
You did.
Yeah.
You eliminated all of the tonsils that don't cause you joy.
Do you think you guys can feel your tonsils?
Well, I'm not sure because I'm not exactly 100%. Is the tonsil, I know there's that thingy, the dangly back
uvula.
There.
Yeah,
that's your uvula.
So like the tonsils are somewhere near there, right?
Your tonsils are the uvula's dumb friends. Like there's sort of Tweedledee and Tweedledum in the back of your mouth by the sides.
Tonsil-dee.
Tonsil-dee and tonsil-dum. Which you can see in my new Alice in Wonderland.
I was picked on a lot as a kid for having two tonsil dumbs.
Two tonsil dumbs, no tonsil D inside.
You can talk about that now. It's a safe space.
Thank you.
But that's funny. Yeah, I think you guys just don't know how it feels because your tonsils are so small compared to mine.
Your tonsils were so big.
Thank you.
I'm not going to go into it, but you know there's a direct correlation between giant time. I'm not even going to say it, but you guys know it. You guys know. You've all heard it.
Everyone here has heard it.
You've heard it from your ENT friends.
Yeah, if you have giant tonsils, you have giant dreams in the film industry that won't come true.
I'm so sad we didn't get them. I forgot on the day to ask if we could get them in a jar because I just wish we could have seen them.
And we could have, left them as a tip at a Benday's at Cantor's for our waitress. You gave us extra pickles. Here's my tonsils.
Man, Ben, I ordered you some pickles for Christmas, and they never arrived. And I'm super bummed about it. And I also didn't realize that they hadn't arrived until, like, very recently. In addition, I bought... those who know me from some of my peanut butter, my peanut butter excursions in the past know that you get me anywhere near a checkout, an online checkout, I'm dropping 200 bills. And I did. I bought, like, I got your pickles, and I was like, oh, this is, it was another one of those, like, $20, like, $20 shipping.
Oh, yeah.
So I bought, like, a ton of fresh pasta, and I bought, I've become addicted to dried olives, a thing that's very hard to find. Wow. But like,
I don't know if I've had one.
They're great. And I didn't know they existed. And then all of a sudden, like, I tried, they were like an accoutrement to like some, you know, like dried chickpeas or something. And it was like the chickpeas were fine. There would be like 1,000 chickpeas for every one olive.
Yeah.
I ended up with almost all the chickpeas and none of the olives. But so I ordered all these olives, and I ordered you some pickles, and I ordered this pasta. And then they did this thing. This is such a long story for no reason.
I love it.
So I went on there, and I was like so excited because they were like one day shipping. But then they also had this little caveat that was like, except sometimes there are extended delays during the holiday period. And then I'm like thinking about it, and it's like, these people only sell anything during the holidays so they can always get away with not giving you.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I ordered these things. I think it was like around Thanksgiving. And like, Madeline got peanut butter. You were going to get pickles. You put the two of them together, and no one would have wanted to spend any time with it except for me. And that's exactly what I wanted. I wanted to eliminate all of your other friends.
This is your long time.
Exactly. This is my long
Well, that was so nice.
Like, slow burn. You guys having no more friends but me.
And we have no more friends. And Ben didn't even get his pickles.
Well, you're going to get these pickles. So finally, this week, I was like, I went on and was like, I contacted customer service, and I was like, hey, these things never came. And like, they didn't even respond because it had been like several months. They just sent me the form to complain to PayPal, knowing that the guy who waits 2 months on the pickles that never arrived is not going through PayPal for this. So I'm out $200, but we're getting you those pickles.
Oh, well, that is so nice. Thank you. Of course. That's an amazing present.
Terrible story, great present.
Great story, great present. Frustrating customer service experience.
Yeah.
That's my take home.
Yeah. The peanut butter should have soured me on customer service, like, over.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
But that peanut butter is so good. Honestly, their customer service department could like prank call you and like tell you that your car was on fire. I would be like, worth it.
I know.
You're doing right now exactly what I always want to with people right now in customer service. My line now is that I say, like, if I'm really on the edge, I say, just so you know, I'm a journalist.
Oh, that's
and
good.
So
that's really good. Yeah.
Really escalate for you guys.
No, I know. But you're right. Like, the peanut butter people know that, like, they can get away with murder. Yeah.
When your product is good,
I know.
You don't have, nothing else has to be good.
I know.
That's why I always feel like I've got to be so nice, because I feel like what I have to offer is only fine. So I feel like if I'm not deeply accommodating, people are like, well, no thanks. And I ask someone else to do this. That's a true, real feeling I have. And it's a part of the reason that I will bend fully over backwards anytime I'm asked to do anything.
Your New Year's resolution should be to become sort of a soup Nazi mentality.
Too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I got. Maybe I'm already doing it because I yelled at you earlier. Yeah, yeah. I feel bad.
I
already feel
it.
Terrible about it.
Please, I don't care.
I already
about
feel
that.
So bad about it.
No, I screwed up. Madeline got mad.
You didn't
we fixed
screw
it.
Up. I just, I, I'm a, I've,
we fixed it.
I've been a little more quick to anger lately. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
You know, I knew not to talk back, but I also was not upset. I was like, you know what? I probably screwed up.
It is like a little bit of a mini resolution I've been thinking about a lot. Like, I've been thinking sort of like, this is like a slow burn, thought that I've had of like just trying to get like a little bit better at like speaking up for myself and like expressing my feelings. But it's a little bit like I'm kind of doing a janky version of it now, because I find that like a couple of times in the past couple of weeks I've like snapped at people in kind of inappropriate. It's like not like when that's not what I meant to do and what I really. And it's not quite, it's like not exactly speaking up for myself. It's just like being like, I'm kind of like fussing with the volume a little bit. It's like I haven't gotten it right yet, but it's like sort of in the process of trying to just be a little bit of a better and more assertive communicator.
Yeah. Well, you know, and full The lights just pop on every once in a while in here.
It's really, is it motion censored? Okay, they're motion censored. Okay.
Even though I was the recipient of the yells, I was proud of you. It was like, you know what? It's like, it's, I think, one, I would not have stopped you because I was afraid. But two, I would not have stopped you because I wasn't afraid, really. Yeah. But I did, it was like, okay, I'm not going to talk until this is done, for sure. But the feeling was that, like, one of the ways that we learn to do exactly what you just described is to, like, sometimes not do it exactly the way that we intended.
Yes.
And for people like me, for people like Ben, for people like Zig, to not hold it against you. That, like, so you didn't get, I know that, like, it's a work in progress for you to speak, you know, whatever. And that was, whatever what that instance was. It's like, you know, I'm never going to, I'm never going to change my opinion of you. We might sometimes disagree on stuff. Sure. In fact, on this podcast, sometimes I think one of the things we do very well is amicably disagree about stuff, you know? But it's important to be able to, like, express yourself and to not worry that, like, if you don't express yourself perfectly, that people are going to judge you for it. And I feel like you most of the time are right. So why shouldn't you express it? If you don't, then the world just has to be wrong sometimes. It's not fair. But we're better off with a little bit of volume and the right.
Well, I'm gonna fine tune the shit out of it.
I'm sure you will. Nobody works harder than Madeline, except maybe Ben. I used to work hard too. Not anymore.
That's not
anymore.
True. Do you have any resolutions or?
Well, my big thing this year was like, and it's pretty trite. I mean, it's a cliche, but like really embracing the make the resolution the action, not the end goal.
Yes.
To like not be like, ooh, I'm going to lose 20 pounds this year, but to be like I mentioned earlier, like I started doing 50 push-ups a day, and like I bought a what do you call the thing that I bought? Maybe you guys, the stationary bike.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I got a stationary bike at my house, and it's just like I'm gonna make sure that I, you know, like when I'm doing something, like later tonight, I'll go home and I'll watch a little bit of a basketball game, and so I'll just pedal while I'm doing the basketball game, and it's like, you know, making a conscious effort to find a way to really enjoy some of the things that I can talk myself out of doing that are good for me, but just like making an effort to say I'm gonna do things better for me, not I'm gonna like become a different person, because I'm not. I just want to become like a better version of me. So I think the big one is like trying to one of the things I noticed from quitting smoking is that it has an effect on a lot of your other intakes. And so, like, you know, eating too much at night because I'm used to, like, the rhythm of, like, controlling my breathing and, like, trying to stay on patterns of exercising frequently, regardless of what type of exercise I can do, that it's not always going to be, it can't be, I can't make it to the gym, so I don't exercise. Doing, working with what I have in front of me and just feeling pretty good about, like, just doing the best that I can. And that, like, you know, basically, like, some of those moments that you just described, like those moments where I feel a little bit guilty, like knowing that somebody else worded in like sort of a joke thing, but just like, they said, like, nobody can climb inside your heart. Nobody knows your intention but you. And just like acknowledging that my intention is always, you know, is always sincere. And any time where I'm like maybe acting outside of my intention, I should like think a little bit if like maybe I didn't do my meditation or maybe I haven't eaten enough, and just like controlling what I can control and not hoping that it's going to like change me into like a different person. Yeah. Just continuing to work. So that's
me. I'm feeling proud of yourself for what you do.
Yeah.
Like, and letting that,
letting
that be your point of pride.
Yeah.
You mentioned that to me, like, right at the end of the year, like thinking about that, and it's really stuck with me.
Yeah.
Like I've been trying to remind myself the same thing of like, be proud of what you do and like let go of the results a little bit.
It's very hard. Yeah. I mean, it's very hard to stop being results driven.
Yeah.
Like in this town, but in all towns.
Yeah.
I mean, in the world. But I do notice that like, you know, it's like you can make you can make a list that had 10 mini goals on it that led to one big goal, or you can just write down that one big goal. And I know from personal experience that if you write down those 10, you get 10 good feelings of I checked something off, I accomplished it. If you just if you just wait for that one at the end, chances are you haven't made a plan that's going to get you to that last one. You crumble up that paper, you throw it in the garbage, and you come up with some reason that you don't have to feel bad about yourself. But maybe there are some moments where you should feel bad about yourself because you didn't make a plan to be the best version of yourself. But like, if you make that plan and you like take little steps towards getting there. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ben, let's talk resolutions with you.
Yeah, what about you?
I think my favorite resolution came up after New Year's. Like, it was the thing I figured out. I was at an audition and I ran into Dan Lippert. And I would normally, I was kind of thinking like, oh, it'd be fun for us to go to coffee. But I normally wouldn't ask him.
Yeah.
Because I'd be afraid of like, what if this isn't really like jiving with his schedule right now? Yeah. He has other stuff to do. I didn't want to like, you know, put him in a position to feel awkward. My New Year's resolution is kind of to say, screw it. I asked Dan Lippert to go to coffee. We had a really nice coffee. The next day, I ran into Kevin Manwaring at an audition, asked him if he wanted to get lunch. We went to lunch. I said, screw that he might have plans. You know, nicer to just ask for what I want in these situations and end up having a really nice time.
You said it in a way that I really liked, where you were like saying like I'm resolving to say yes to more things that I want but find a little scary, and to say no to more things that I actually don't want.
That's exactly it.
That's the New Year's resolution that I went into this year with, and then this has been sort of how I've been finding my voice.
I think that's great. It's almost like. Like you hear that like sort of that specific resolution of like saying yes more frequently, but it's almost like you're asking yes more, like rather than waiting for someone else to initiate and like receiving, you're saying yes to like making the initiation. And then that allows somebody else to like not only say yes in their life, but also to feel wanted, which is like such a huge thing in this life, especially in like this town where like I think we all go through periods of like feeling like an outsider here, no matter how long you've been here. Like the best way to feel like an insider is to like create a little community for yourself and like little one-on-ones. Like I always feel like that's the best thing about Ben Day is just like we get to have like a one-on-one. Like it's not like we don't love Madeline too, but just sometimes it's nice to have just a one-on-one with a person and
just
be like,
my name isn't Ben. I'm not included in Ben Day.
That is actually true. You're included in everything else, but Ben Day is just like the one thing that you can't have it.
I don't want it.
You do.
If you wanted it really badly, you could change your name.
It's true.
But you never do.
Sometimes, but at least once a year, Madeline joins us for a
pickle and Diet Coke day. We're going on one of our regular pilgrimages to Red Lobster tonight after this. And I would call this crashing a Ben. Am I crashing a Ben Day?
What? I mean, yes. The terminology, I would disagree. I would say this is a pickles and Diet Coke, Red Lobster Day.
Yes. If any listeners who don't know, I mean, first of all, why don't you know this? second of all, a pickles and Diet Coke Day refers to a Ben Day that I'm also included in because I was included in a Ben Day at Cantor's at one point and came up with a very great song about pickles and Diet Coke that everybody universally loves.
Please.
It goes, pickles and Diet Coke, pickles and Diet Coke, pickles and Diet Coke. And you kind of have a little dance. And you can sing it as long as you want.
It's very, very catchy. Yeah.
It may have gotten you kind of banned.
I will say that's the last time I was included in a Ben Day. But, you know, we're going to
once again. I don't know if they'll have pickles. They probably will have Diet Coke, but it's symbolic.
I think another way this resolution comes out is I just want to be less. A lot of times I'm in conversation with somebody and I have a thing I want to ask them, and I hold myself back from asking them because I'm worried that maybe they've told me the answer to this thing before, or I should already know it. And I get too in my head about things, and I'm just choosing this year to be less apologetic and ask the thing that I really want to know. Which is sort of just more of taking what I want. As this tonsil-free superhero.
I love that. That's such
As this tonsil-free. I can't think of a better way to end than We all are. I think our resolution for all three of us is to become better tonsil-less superheroes. I think you hit the nail on the head that in one way or another, I think we all want to make a more concerted effort to like not feel bad about wanting the things that we want out of life. And then knowing that, like, I mean, I think sometimes you just have to act to know that we're not hurting anybody by wanting good lives for ourselves, wanting to know more about our friends, for wanting to like engage, you know, socially with the people that we're close to our lives. Like, this is going to make your life better. And it'll make, if we, I think let's all embrace that
one.
Let's ask for the things that we want out of life.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
I love that.
That's great.
That's so great.
I think that's, let's put a wrap on our resolutions with that. All right, folks, thank you. This has been our little hiatus episode. We didn't actually anticipate missing some time, but then sort of life got in the way a little bit. And so we wanted to make sure to pop in the beginning of the year and not only throw out our New Year's resolutions, because who cares really, but also to say hi to you guys, to let you know that we still love you guys here in the new year, but some stuff has come up. And so we're just going to take a little bit of time off. Nothing too extensive, but just some time to catch up on the rest of our lives. But yeah, we wanted to make sure we dropped a what was the expression that I used earlier? We didn't want to have left you without a dope beat to step to.
Who
I don't know.
That?
Somebody says it. Anybody?
What is it? I almost.
We shouldn't have left you without a dope beat to
step
to.
Is that an Aaliyah song?
Could be.
Is that song about her with the baby crying in the track?
R.I.P. Aaliyah.
Yeah, that's, oh my, like, tell me you're that somebody. Are you responsible? And then that baby cries and cries. Whoa, I just got fully transported back to my middle school carpool. Wow.
And we basically wanted to stop back in to transport you to Madeline's middle school carpool, probably smelling like salami based on some of other Madeline stories from back in the day.
You better believe it smells like salami.
we just wanted to pop back in real quick. And we're not exactly sure when we're going to be coming back. But we'll keep you posted.
Yeah. So. And in the meantime, thank you guys for listening. We appreciate you and stay healthy.
Stay healthy. This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes, and you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Definitely Dying.
Until next time, stay healthy.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.